All right, and welcome to another episode of Sports Bears from an Agent's Perspective. You're with your host, Zila, a.k.a. Chester Mbekela. And we bring you guys episode 143 of nothing but fire sporting content, man. We're actually going to dive a little bit, deep into, multiple sports today. But obviously, at the forefront, we're going to talk everything football. A bit of recap on what's been happening in the J-League. The notable surprises, man. It's been, crazy. But, I look forward to just bringing you guys, just some information on what's been going on with the J-League. And then, for the rugby supporters, you'll be happy to know, yes, we do have a game of the week this week. Just make sure you're glued to your seats because... yeah, it was another humdinger, man, when it comes to identifying, the game of the week. I think as the season reaches, the peak phase of, the Japan Rugby League One competition, the players are just displaying amazing and unbelievable talent on the rugby field, man. But it's been awesome to witness, So make sure you stick around for that because, when I break down the game of the week, it's jaw-dropping. It's jaw-dropping. It's stuff that you wouldn't really see at the pros. Just make sure you stick around for that. And then, obviously, we're also going to talk about, this ongoing trend, man, of just, athletes finding themselves in hot water because of gambling, And I've mentioned this in previous episodes that I don't believe it's a good idea for anyone who's involved in the world of professional sports or sport in general to be betting. It doesn't make sense. You're kind of working against yourself, But anyway, make sure you stick around for that because, I think a lot of the sporting federations are going to start making examples of guys. And if guys don't want to listen... and they constantly want to find themselves, on the wrong side of the law when it comes to the whole sports gambling type of thing. I think a lot of sporting federations are really going to start making examples of guys. But anyway, we're going to talk more about that, after the break. So make sure you stick around. As I said, dibble and dabble into, multiple sporting codes, but it's going to be a great episode nonetheless. All right. So. Make sure to stick around and I will see you guys after the break. This episode is sponsored by BetterHelp. If you think you might be feeling depressed, stressed, anxious, or overwhelmed, BetterHelp is here to help. I know, from my personal experience, man, when I was an athlete, when I was a player, there'd be times I would go through, feelings of like stress and anxiety, stress to perform, stress to play well, to make sure you play for that next contract. And, I really wish that I had had, certain like avenues to really vent and get out these frustrations and just have an objective party to talk to, right? BetterHelp, man, it's a platform that offers licensed therapists who are trained to listen and help you through, your tough time or whatever you're going through. Now, you're able to talk to your therapist in private, in an online environment at your convenience. So it's literally therapy wherever you may be, There's a broad range of expertise in BetterHelp's 20,000 plus therapists network that gives you access to help that may not be available in your area. You just fill out a questionnaire to help assess your specific needs, and then you get matched with a therapist in under 48 hours. Imagine that, under 48 hours. Then you schedule a secure video and phone sessions, and then plus you can exchange unlimited messages with your therapist. And everything you share is 100% and completely confidential, right? What I've found helpful, man, with using a platform like BetterHelp, again, is just their response time. That if you're going through something, you're able to talk with your therapist and share it right there and then. You know, my therapist, Mark, is so efficient, and I'm really happy that I'm working with him. All right, and then you can actually also request a new therapist at no additional charge anytime if the current therapist that you matched with doesn't work out for you. All right, so you don't need to stress and feel like you're trapped with one therapist. You can actually request to change. So join the 2 million plus people who have taken charge of their mental health with an experienced BetterHelp therapist. Special offer to Sports Bears from an Agent's Perspective podcast listeners. So you get 10% off your first month at betterhelp.com/KZMbekela. All right, that's betterhelp.com/KZMbekela Mbekela. Thanks again to BetterHelp for sponsoring this episode. All right, and welcome back after that break. Hope you guys didn't flake on me. Hope you didn't run away on me. But anyway, man, before we get into today's episode, just like to just comment on what a beautiful day it is. You know, it's an amazing day. I'm just looking outside of my window, man. It's you can definitely feel that spring atmosphere in the air. And yeah, you know, Japan, this around about this time of the year, it's, you know, the whole cherry blossom season, sakura season. So it always kind of reminds me of Pretoria, actually, in the springtime. Excuse me. Because Pretoria also had this kind of, you know, familiar or very springified atmosphere because they had the jacaranda, you know. And jacaranda and cherry blossoms are actually very similar looking because, I mean, the jacaranda is purple and the cherry blossoms are pink. But I always get that sense of feeling of home, you know, in brackets, Pretoria, run about this time, especially when, you know, when I'm walking around and you're seeing all these cherry blossom trees. It really does represent, you know, a new beginning. Hence, the spring season in Japan is actually considered as the real new year, like the beginning of a new year. Like, obviously, we still do celebrate the 31st of December as, you know, New Year's Eve, and, you know, and then the 1st of January as New Year's Day. But the true meaning of the beginning of a new year over here in Japan is actually the springtime during the, you know, the cherry blossom season. And in fact, most companies as well, the beginning of their financial years are usually the 1st of April. That usually signifies the beginning of a new year as well. Same as with the schooling system, universities, elementary schools, junior high schools, high schools, the school year pretty much runs from April 1st until the following year, March. That is what's considered the calendar year, you know, within, you know, over here within Japan. So it's just good, man. You can just feel it in the air. It represents a new beginning. The whole cherry blossom season just represents a new beginning. And you know, very keen on this new feeling or new year feeling that this April is providing. And obviously April is also special to me because it's also my birthday month. So it's just been an awesome, you know, beginning of April. It's just been, you know, chilled vibes. It's good weather. And I'm looking forward to the summer. And obviously also looking forward to the summer transfers and just looking at, you know, what the teams are going to be looking for in terms of reinforcements. I mean, Japan is pretty much open now. So, you know, teams across all divisions, whether you're looking at the J1 league competition, whether you're looking at the J2 or hopefully the J3 as well, will also start making some acquisitions overseas. Because, I mean, I've been getting a lot of guys inquiring about, you know, guys across all leagues, you know. But more especially, like within the lower leagues, like J League, J3 League, guys have been inquiring that, listen, are teams recruiting overseas and stuff like that? Because ever since COVID, you know, a lot of the teams within the J3 competition, they've been very tight with their budgets, you know, meaning that for them, they've mostly and solely been focusing on recruiting players that are already based here in Japan. So that means that if you're a foreign player, most of the foreign players that have been recruited to play within the J3 league are usually guys who were playing at university level. So they were drafted straight from the, you know, the college ranks onto the J3 league. The J3 has not been going overseas to purchase their players or to, you know, to acquire guys or to sign guys for international transfers. It's just mostly been the J1 and the J2 competition. But obviously, ever since 2023 and just, you know, Japan really opening their borders, I'm guessing a lot more teams now are, you know, going to look to get some reinforcements from abroad, you know. And how crazy is it, you know, I was actually reading up on, because I like to follow like Spanish football, and I was reading up on that Bilbao team, Athletic Bilbao, and the fact that in the club's 125 years of existence, all right, this is in the Basque country of Spain, this team has never, ever signed a foreign player. All of their players have been local boys. So it's usually guys who, you know, come up the ranks of the Bilbao Athletic, or I'm sure they sign like guys from smaller teams and stuff like that, to get them into the team. They've never signed a foreign player, whether it's a guy from Italy, a guy from Germany, never, or a guy from another continent, never. They've literally been only signing homegrown talent. And you know, and you can't be mad at that. You honestly can't be mad at that, man. I'm certainly not mad at them. I actually commend it and I respect it, you know, because they just told themselves that they're going to make sure that all their talent comes from the local boys. They're going to give first preference to the guys who grow up supporting Bilbao Athletic or Athletic Bilbao. And just guys who literally are, you know, part and parcel, like homegrown talent, man. Homegrown talent. But on the flip side, I do believe in diversifying, and I do believe in teams also opening themselves up to getting players from overseas, because that's the only way players learn from each other, you know? Because remember, when a team signs a player from overseas, that guy is not only coming here to just play and make money and suck the team dry off their resources, he's also bringing the skills that he or she has learned from their home country or from other multiple countries that they've played in, and they are bringing those skills, and they will obviously plow back those skills into the club. You know, they might be able to mentor younger players within their structures as well. You know, so these are all the possibilities when teams sign overseas players, you know. But but yeah, I do respect the fact that they just told themselves that, nope, we're relying on local talent to get us through the hump. And I mean, as much as I think this was their first title in their 125 year existence, it, you know, it may have taken them longer to clinch the league, but they did it. And I'm guessing they told themselves that they were going to do it just by using, you know, homegrown talent. It's taking them long, but I'm sure it's been worth it. And you know, and I saw videos on social media about their, you know, their parade and stuff like that. They had like boats and stuff like that, and it was just a big affair. It was a huge party over there, you know. So yeah, I just thought I'd make a comment on that. That's one thing I found very interesting, and one thing you can't help but applaud such commitment by the club, because I'm sure over the years they've been under pressure to be like the other La Liga or the other, you know, competition teams who've been signing players left, right and center from all corners of the world. And they just told themselves that, nope, we're sticking to our guns and we're just going to keep it local. you know, so you can't help but applaud that kind of commitment, you know. But anyway, that's actually, that was just on the fly. That's just something I actually thought about when I just started recording. Otherwise, it wasn't part of the podcast episode prep. But before, we go into the episode today, man, I just want to give a further shout out, obviously, to our other sponsors of the podcast. Shout out to Nike Corporation, Nike Australia. Thank you guys for being with us. And thank you for not only sponsoring the podcast, but also thank you for being a sponsor for our sports blog as well. All right. If you guys haven't checked out our sports blog, make sure to check it out on Athlete Network, which is our athlete social network platform. That is on www.athletenetwork.net. All right. Our blog posts, they go up every week where we bring you guys further sporting content. Again, we focus on talking about, you know, sports in general. But our content lately has been mostly dominated by, you know, football content. You know, we talk about the business side of professional sports, man, from everything from, you know, sponsorships, you know, working with brands, you know, how teams make money, the most expensive, you know, professional sports teams in the world, most expensive professional football teams. Shout out to Real Madrid. They are still at number one. We bring you that kind of information and just talking about the business aspect of professional sports. So thank you to Nike for sponsoring our website as well and just being a sponsor of our content, our sporting content as well. All right. And then a further shout out as well to MyProtein. You know, thank you to them for all, you know, the nutritional support and, you know, supplementation information and, you know, sponsorship that we get from them. Again, as a person who loves going to the gym, I love using their products, man, from their protein supplements to their BCAAs and pre-workout supplements, all right? For their supplement information or any sort of like nutritional supplements or nutritional information that you may need, just hit them up on their site, you know? I'll make sure to drop their link of their website as well, along with the Nike one on the description of the podcast. And then thank you to 365 Games for all the gaming information they provide us as well. And to check their online store out with regards to games and anything gaming related, make sure you check out their site. I'll make sure to link it on the description of the podcast as well. All right. And again, a further thank you to the other two brands, MyProtein and 365 Games, as they also sponsor some posts that we have up on our sports blog as well. All right. So make sure you check out the content out, man. It's, you know, the one thing I just wanted to tell myself to do is to provide sporting content both here on the airwaves, you know, because I love recording. I love coming on here and just, you know, talking all things sports. But I also, you know, enjoy the writing process as well. So I thought I would have like sporting content both in print as well as on audio as well. All right. So yeah, but don't worry, like the content never overlaps. What we talk about on the print section, it doesn't overlap onto the audio. So I'm not bringing you guys the same sporting content on both platforms. No. We try differentiated. Obviously, there might be a little bit of cross-referencing here and there, but generally it's mostly different. What we bring you in the print on our sports blog will not be the same as on our audio sports podcast show. All right. So make sure you check those out, man. And thank you for the support. And keep supporting, man. We're building. Anyway, so going into today's sporting content, we'll talk J-League first. All right. And the notable games in the J1 League competition that we were able to view was, again, another Kanagawa showdown between Yokohama F. Marinos versus Shonan Bellmare, you know. Now, as I've mentioned in previous episodes, Shonan Bellmare is actually about, it's so close to, you know, to my place. But to be unbiased, I mostly back Yokohama F. Marinos because I like their style of football and I just like their approach, their, you know, winning mentality approach. But I think the biggest mistake that Yokohama F. Marinos made going into this game against Shonan Bellmare is the fact that they underestimated these guys. You know, they didn't select their best 11 to go up against Shonan Bellmare. Like, you had guys like Anderson Lopez, who's their star striker at Yokohama F. Marinos. You had him on the bench. And Yokohama F. Marinos were no idea they were really about to get a major surprise, you know, from Shonan Bellmare. Because if there's one thing I've noticed over three seasons that I've watched Shonan Bellmare take on Yokohama F. Marinos, is the fact that these guys, I don't know, they just know how to step up when they play against Yokohama F. Marinos. And as a result, I mean, F. Marinos, they came in with a very lackadaisy type of attitude. And I mean, it worked for them in the beginning, because I think within the first 20 minutes, they had scored their first goal, you know. And then, I mean, the game still went, you know, through like a back and forth, you know, type of thing. But just before halftime, Shonan Bellmare were able to equalize, you know. So they went into that game at halftime, 1-1, deadlocked, you know. And then in the second half, F. Marinos seemed like, you know, I think the coach may have given them a few harsh words during, you know, during his halftime speech, because when they came out in the second half, they definitely looked like a different team to what they were in the first half. They had more urgency. They were playing with more speed. They were not playing with the whole lackadaisy attitude anymore. And yeah, man. And, you know, as a result of that, they were able to score their second goal, you know, through obviously some clinical attacking play. And one of their players actually taking a shot outside the 18 area. And, the shot was so powerful, the goalie struggled to hold on to the ball. So as a result of the rebound, there was already a Yokohama F. Marinos player to follow that up. And he fired away. Massive shot. Back of the net. They were 2-1 up. All right. And as again, you'd think that, okay, it looked like they had the game wrapped up and everything. Again, they went back to playing with a lackadaisy attitude. And what did Shonan Bellmare do? Fuck it, man. They equalized. They were able to find the back of the net for the second time as well. And then the rest of the game, just again, it was like both, not both teams. It looked as if F. Marinos was now trying to scramble to edge this team and just get the win, but they weren't able to do so. And as a result, the game ended in a 2-2 draw. A game that Yokohama F. Marinos should initially have won. But because of the fact that they came in with a very lackadaisy attitude, and Shonan Bellmare really looked like a team that wanted to step up, because from kickoff, they came up with intent. You know, as much as they're not doing well in the league, because when you look at them in the log, yeah, they're definitely in the bottom, you know, in the bottom three again, just like they were last year. But when it comes to playing against the big teams, they do know how to step up. They definitely know how to step up. And just in commenting with the J1, before I move on to the J2, just in commenting with the J1 log, I think the J1 log has been the most surprising. Like, at number one, you've got Cerezo Osaka. I mean, they've been... to say that they're a wild card is an understatement, you know? Because even within Osaka, they were not the main team, because Gamba Osaka were known to be the main team of Osaka. But as per last season, Cerezo started to show signs that, nah, look, they're actually the big dogs of Osaka. But nonetheless, so they find themselves right now at number one. Number two is Hiroshima Senfreche, Hiroshima. Again, another team that you would have never expected to be in the top two. They find themselves at number two. At number three, you've got newcomers who were promoted from the J2 league last year, Zelvia Machida. Another team that's actually not too far from my area. So every time I'm commuting with the train, I always pass by Sagami Ono, which is like one station from Machida. So Zalvi and Machida, who are also from Tokyo, they find themselves at number three. Again, nobody expected these guys to come into the J1. And, you know, I mean, I know the league started 2 months ago, but after 2 months of being in the J1 competition, these guys find themselves in the top three. And then obviously number four, you've got Vissel Kobe, they've had a fairly good season so far. But, you know, I think because of the whole goal difference thing, that's why, you know, Senfrecce and Cerezo and Zalvia Machida find themselves in the top three is because of the whole goal difference thing. And because of the fact that they are winning the games that really, these like nitty gritty games, these easy games, they are really putting them away. And by them doing it this early, this is actually what's going to count when the season starts hitting that peak phase where now all the teams have must-win games. So these guys are taking care of the easy work now so that they won't have to be scrambling later on in the season. You know, so you've got Vissel Kobe at number four, and then you've got Yokohama F. Marinos at number five. It's not a good look. It's not a good look. But obviously, it's still early in the season, so I don't want to give them too much flack about it. But yeah, the log has been a true... Yeah, it's been one hell of a surprise. It's been a true surprise. But we'll see how things go. As I said, it's only 2 months into the season. And we'll see what happens as the season progresses. But one thing I'll say is the teams should not take this lightly, because this is how Vissel Kobe sneaked onto being the league champions last season. You know, we kept on saying, it's still early in the season, it's still early in the season, it's still early in the season. And they were just opening up that gap. They were just widening that gap until, that crucial part of the season whereby now Yokohama F. Marinos found themselves having to scramble, and it was too late. This team had developed into a monster. Vissel Kobe had developed into a monster last season. So that's what I'm thinking, that is Cerezo Osaka or, you know, Senfrecce or Zelvia Machida, are they going to be these monsters? You know, are they going to be building, building, building? And then by the time the season's coming close to an end, it's too hard to knock these guys off their spots. You know, so it's really going to be interesting to see, man. But everything's looking good. There've been no major injuries reported, so that's a plus. That's a plus. But yeah, everything to play for, man. All teams, I'm sure, are going to fire away. I mean, and credit to F. Marinos, man. Like, they're not playing badly, but I just think that they really need to make sure that they put the easy games to bed. Like, they really need to execute when it comes to playing the easy matches with the lower ranked teams, you know. Anyway, so that is pretty much the J1 league competition. And then looking at the J2, I got to watch Shimizu S-Pulse versus Iwaki FC. And again, very interesting match. I actually thought it was an easy game for Shimizu because, I mean, their first goal, they scored so early and they scored so easily. It was a very soft goal. So I thought, okay, maybe Shimizu's in for a very easy game. That Iwaki FC team proved me wrong. They were able to fight back, man, and equalize. And S-Pulse would score again and Iwaki would score again. And then, you know, they found themselves deadlocked at 2-2 up until, obviously, close to the end of the game where S-Pulse were able to edge them 3-2. But, you can actually tell that, you know, Shimizu is hurting from losing Santiago Santana, who was their star striker. They lost him last season, at the end of last season, to Urawa Reds. And, he's looking good at Urawa Reds as well. But I think he stayed as long as he could at Shimizu S-Pulse. And when they didn't qualify for the J1 League competition, I'm sure his agent was like, listen, guys, we gave you one more year, but unfortunately, this is a player who should be playing top-tier football. And I think Shimizu S-Pulse also understood that, okay, they had to let him go because they were actually lucky to re-sign him at the beginning of 2023. Because at the beginning of 2023, I actually went to Shimizu S-Pulse and I had a conversation with the sporting director. And he said that they really fought hard to keep Santana at Shimizu S-Pulse. And this was after they'd been relegated, you know. So, and he actually wanted to repay the club and to show solidarity to the club because he wanted to help them fight to get back to the J1 competition. But when it didn't happen at the end of last season, it was like, look, they understood that he had to move on. You know, but I mean, as much as they're hurting in losing him, I mean, the guys that are there, they are putting up their hands. But I think in my opinion, I really do think S-Pulse should look to sign an overseas striker in the, you know, in the summer transfer period. But yeah, we'll definitely see what happens and what moves, you know, certain teams are going to try and make, both in the J1 and the J2 competition. But otherwise, it's all looking healthy, man. The season's looking good. The players are looking good. Obviously, they haven't hit the peak phase yet. Players will usually start to hit the peak phase around July, August, September. That's going to be a crucial part of the competition on both ends, both J1, J2, and in fact, the J3 as well. So stay tuned. Stay tuned. We'll keep bringing you guys recaps and so forth. All right, and then the last segment, we move on to our rugby segment. It was definitely a hard decision to make, man, because, you know, Santori, they had a decent game. You know, some of the Wild Night games, a slight injury update. What's his face? Faf de Klerk, it was confirmed that he got injured and he had surgery. So I think he'll be out for the rest of the season, so he won't partake for the Cannon Eagles, I think, for the rest of the season. And I'm not sure, I think he's already returned to South Africa as well. I think that's where he had his surgery. But the game of the week was between Toshiba Brave Lupus, that's Richie Mwanga's team, versus Kubelko Kobe Steelers. Holy hell, what a game. You know, I don't know who that new number 8 the Kubelko Steelers got, man. But the guy is so good that they had to move Ardi Savia. They moved Ardi Savia from number 8 to number 7. And they got this other man, Islander guy, playing at number 8. And that dude was just making line break after line break after line break. But not to say that, you know, Toshiba stood back. You know, they were also doing their thing as well and scoring phenomenal tries. Look, in my years of living, in my years of, you know, obviously following professional sports, whether it's rugby, listen, I've never seen a game end in a 40-all draw. 40-40. I've never seen that. I promise you, I've never seen that. In all my years of playing rugby, I've never seen, you know, top tier or top division teams play up to, you know, ending a game where they drew 40 all. Obviously, I've seen like maybe 25, 27, 30 at most, but I've never seen teams go all the way up to 40. And in actual fact, the Kubelko Steelers, they were trailing. Like Toshiba really had them up against the wall, but they were able to score a try literally in the last minute of the game, last play of the game, and they had a chance to actually win by conversion. But unfortunately, the Kubelko Steelers fly off failed to convert, you know, the try that they scored, because they scored a last minute try in the corner. In the corner, they had a last play, which was a scrum. And they just, yeah, man, they, you know, instead of, because they initially had a penalty, all right? So instead of kicking for line out or whatever, they just, because there was no time for line out. So they took the scrum and they just swung that ball out wide. And the winger scored in the corner. And then once that happened, I mean, the team went ballistic. And then after that happened, obviously now it was time for the kicker to go for the conversion. But unfortunately, yeah, he couldn't make the conversion. He didn't make it. So the game ended in a 40-40 draw. You know, it was, man, it was really good. That was really elite rugby displayed to perfection. You know, from everything, from line breaks to, you know, the defense. This actually also made me really criticize the rush defense. I've always been a big critic of the whole rush defense system because, and this is actually how the Kobelco Steelers almost lost the game, is because of the whole rush defense. Because if you do the whole rush defense thing and you miss, you're fucked. And that's exactly what, and especially if it's the winger coming in to make the hit. You know, one thing our coaches used to say when I played on the wing as well, is that, listen, if you're a wing and you're going to rush up to tackle in, make sure you don't miss your man. Because if you miss your man or the ball is swung before you make the hit, then it's already an overlap. It's a definite try, unless they decide to butcher it, like maybe the fullback knocks it on or whatever, like if they make the error. But in terms of you as the defender, if you rush up and you miss, you're fucked. That should be an automatic try. And that's exactly the mistake that the Kobelco Steelers were making. They were really trying to rush defend these guys, and these guys would just grubber it behind them, and there'd be nobody there. And that's how they were scoring tries. You know, so it was just, you know, analyzing those nitty-gritties that, yeah, I've never been a big fan of rush defense. I think it's high risk. Look, it's high risk, high reward. Because if you do make the hit, then you're able to get the player before the advantage line. I know, I get that. But if you miss, you're fucked. You're fucked. And that's actually what used to fuck up the Springboks. Because I remember when Jake White came in 2004, they had the whole rush defense thing. And then Australia and New Zealand actually started to read that play where they were like, they'd be like, okay, if these guys are rushing up quickly, just grubber it behind them. And that's exactly what they started doing. The number 10 would just stand a little bit deeper, get the ball. And when those guys, Jean de Villiers and the Marius Joubert, because this was before they got Jacques Ferry involved, Marius Joubert, when they started really rushing up, the number 10 would just grubber it behind them. And then the opposition centers and wingers would already have, would be at full speed trying to recover the ball. So they had to really reevaluate the whole rush defense thing. And as a result, they started slowing down when it came to, you know, coming up for defense. Instead of sprinting up, they started jogging up. You know, because by the time they went to the World Cup 2007, and I know, guys, I'm talking in bits and pieces, but by the time the Boks went to the 2007 World Cup, they were not doing that whole rush defense thing. You know, it was actually more controlled. Like, they would choose when to put the pressure on heavily and when to actually just jog up and then do the whole shift thing. Because that's the defense I support. It's the come up and then shift. Get them out on the edges. You know, but anyway, that's a story for another day. So yeah, that, you know, that whole rush defense thing, it really nearly cost Kobelco Steelers. But then again, because they've got, you know, the Ardi Saviers and they've got dangerous attackers, they were able to really fight back, and they adjusted their defensive, you know, their defensive systems, and they started being cooler on defense. When they started doing that and really applying their attack and using their explosive runners, they were able to fight back. And they were able to tie the game. But what a match it was, man. What a match. What a match. I thoroughly enjoyed it. And I would urge you, man, if you want to check it out, we'll definitely make sure to also embed it on our Athlete Social Network. On Athlete Network, you can catch it on the sports highlights section. But yeah, it was definitely entertaining rugby. That's for sure. That's for sure. Anyway, guys, that is pretty much the content for today, man. You know, I always love bringing you guys, you know, just sporting content. Oh, yeah. Before I actually go, just a slight comment outside football, outside of the rugby. You know, I was listening to Nightcap, you know, shout out to Shannon Sharp and Ocho Cinco, man. I was listening to Nightcap, and it's been brought up that this guy, NBA player, he's not one of the main guys, but I mean, this guy is a professional basketball player. NBA player, Jonte Porter, has just received a ban, lifetime ban from the NBA because of gambling. Because of gambling violations. You know, to athletes, man, it makes no sense for you guys to be professional athletes and be gambling against your games. That is a serious conflict of interest. You know, so yeah, so this guy's been banned for life by the NBA. And the one comment Shannon Sharp was making was that, how stupid do you have to be? This guy, during his NBA career thus far, he's made $2.4 million. He gambled and he only won $22,000. So that means he sacrificed $2.4 million and, you know, the amount of money he was gonna make in the future, like his future earnings, which would have maybe been more than $2.4 million. He sacrificed that amount of money and his future earnings for $22,000. Now, please tell me, is that smart? Nah, man, come on. These guys are really hustling backwards, man. I think pro athletes, or, you know, it's not a good idea for these guys to be gambling. It's really not. Hey, look, in another sport, do you? You're a grown man, you're a grown woman, but as it's clearly been seen, it's not a good idea for these guys to gamble, man, because they just don't know where to blur the lines or where to draw the line, you know, more to put it more like that. Because now these guys are ending up losing contracts and future earnings based on a cheap thrill such as gambling on their own sport. It makes no sense, man. I don't get it. But anyway, yeah, so the guys received a lifetime ban, and I think more sporting federations are actually going to start doing this, and I commend it 110%. You know, more sporting federations are going to do this, where I think they're going to start making examples of guys who are not listening on these guys who persist on gambling against their own sport. You know, so watch out, guys. You know, be smart, man. Be smart. If you want to be a person who does this sort of thing, wait till you retire. Wait till you retire. And I mean, this kind of advice doesn't only go towards the athletes. It goes towards anybody who makes a living being involved in the professional sports industry. So this goes for team executives, team owners. Team owners, they can also be possibly sanctioned by the federations. And then also, you know, agents, anybody who's involved in the sporting federation, or I mean, within the professional sports industry, it's not a good idea to get involved because of the potential conflict of interest. Just stay away from it. Don't get involved. Stay away from it. It's not worth it. It's really not worth it. You know? But now the enthusiasts, hey, whatever you want to do. You know? So I just urge anybody in the sporting world, man, sporting industry, to just don't do it. Be smart. Stay away from that kind of stuff. You know? Otherwise, you end up like a person who... Because now, you know, Jonte Porter, like, now, I don't think any sporting federation, or he's not even allowed, possibly, to even coach. Like, I'm sure he's not even allowed to get involved with the game. So now he's got to go off and find a regular job. Yeah, that's just not smart. And I'm sure people are going to tell him he's stupid all the time. But, hey, man. You know? That's not nice to hear, though. It really isn't. But anyway, yeah, so that's just the, you know, the last bit of interesting fact. And to just tell athletes, just stay away from it, guys. Stay away from it. You have plenty to lose. Stay away from it. Stay away from the gambling. Don't do it. Anyway, yeah, so that is pretty much today's episode. Shout out to everyone who's been supporting the podcast. And please, yeah, please keep supporting the podcast. New merch is out. We've got new colors for our Setsubun Japanese kanji line. Please make sure to check that out. It's on our Sports Biz podcast merchandising website, and you can check all of this out at www.sportsbizpodcastmerch.com. They look fresh as hell, guys. Like, you know, to create these, man, we had to really do the whole color combination thing pretty well to make sure it comes out well. So yeah, make sure to check those out. And yeah, if you like what you see, cop the merch. The t-shirts, we made sure to price them really nice and low. It's $16.99. So yeah, man, support the podcast. You know, you'd be doing me a favor. No, I'm joking. But yeah, you'd be supporting the podcast, man. And obviously by doing that, we'd also be looking at ways to just give back to the listeners and supporters of the podcast as well. All right. We are at some point, we will probably be doing giveaways as well. So yeah, we do aim to give back. Don't worry. We do aim to give back. But anyway, guys, I'm going to get on out of here, man. Have a good day. Have a good evening. Wherever you are on the other side of the world, just make sure that whatever you do, man, you enjoy yourself and that you're having the time of your life. All right? Take care of yourselves. And in Japanese, as we say, otsukaresama desu. See you next time. All right? Cheers. And remember our sporting slogan, man, for this podcast. We don't only talk sports, we lived it. We effing lived it. We fucking lived it.